Gentlemen, thank you for being here with us again tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Wednesday, and it is the 20th. Oh, my, my. It's the 20th of December in the year 2006. A while back, I told you about a tincture that that was given to me, a recipe for a tincture, which is really wonderful for lung congestion, etc., from Mullen and olive leaf and astragalus. And I found out, I don't know that this is so, but that people who are into making tinctures say that, and I wanted to share this with you, and I was reminded of it because I've been watching the calendar for the new moon, and I realized that today is it. They say that if you're going to make a tincture, start it on a new moon. And if you can, keep it until the next new moon or at least the full moon for a full 2 weeks. That's for those of you who might be trying that. And, excuse me, let me share our spiritual message with you tonight. This is from the New Testament, and it's from 1 John, 1 John, I don't know how they call that. This is chapter 4. And the first one says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And I'm jumping down to verse 4 here. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And in verse 7, listen, folks, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God." And that's beautiful. And, of course, that word God, as you know, that word doesn't work for me anymore. I would prefer to say our Creator, Source, anything but the word God. There's been thousands of gods. In fact, I have a really excellent book here titled 30,000 Gods Before Jehovah. And then when you look at that word backwards, you know what it spells. And our wonderful guest again this evening is Paul von Lord. He was with us last Wednesday. Paul is the author of the book Gods, Genes, and Consciousness. He's author of other books. Our Solarian Legacy is one of them, and I believe another. He's working on another right now, and he's taking his precious time out to be with us, folks. And Paul, thanks so much again for being here.
Good. I'm delighted to be back with you now.
Yeah. Tell me how your weather is real quickly.
We have a front moving in here, and we're going to get a little bit of cooler weather and hopefully some precipitation.
Oh, Jackie?
Over the next couple of days.
Okay. You're in Georgia?
Jackie, can you hear me?
North Georgia, okay.
The foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Well, we had a tropical heat wave here up until yesterday. I mean, this literally got up to 60 one day, Paul. But anyway, we're back down to normal winter weather. What I would like to do, this book, of course, I mentioned last night or last week. It's so jam-packed that to try to discuss the entire book is impossible. But there were certain areas of the book that really, they made so much sense to me. One of them was where you were talking about the different blood type, Paul. And I've always, these are the questions that I've wondered about for so long as I can remember. Where did all the different colors come from, and the different races, and the different blood types? And you, that portion of your book was so fascinating to me, and I wonder if you could share in your words with our listeners some of what you found out with your research.
Well, I think we have to go back just for a bit and start at the beginning of the story with just a quick little summary of maybe some of the things I talked about last week and some of the things that I did not talk about.
That would be a good idea.
So that we can look at that question in the context of an overall history.
Thank you, because we could have some new listeners here tonight.
Well, the hypothesis in my book, God's Genes and Consciousness, is that the human species, at least one, if not several other points in time, has been influenced, affected, shaped by
violated.
You want to use.
Maybe we could.
Well, I don't like to use words like violated and so on.
Why?
Because I think. Well, because violating means that there has been malevolent intent. And I'm not so sure that the story that I'm talking about is necessarily malevolent intent on the part of the beings who perpetrated it.
Really?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When we're doing research today in our health and medical laboratories, testing animals and trying to figure out whether a certain drug will heal them, or whether our work with chimpanzees or all the animals that we have in our zoos, when we're trying to study them, learn something about them, trying to upgrade the fish and so on that we raise for food, all of these things, the genetic manipulations that we do on other species, if you think in terms of a more advanced species than humans, coming and landing on this planet, as I believe the Anunnaki did, and probably other races from other planets or other systems, and from their point of view, they have discovered a planet with lesser species, just as we have discovered lesser species in our natural habitat on this planet. We don't consider ourselves to be violating those lesser species.
I don't know.
So, if you look at it from another point of view, you can say, oh yes, it is violating. We, as humans, are very much in the wrong in the violations that we've done on lesser species,
I think,
around the world. Colonization, slavery in our own society, and so on.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, well, that's where my thoughts are, that it is a violation. Because when you were just even talking about genetic modification of different species, why would they have to be upgrading the fish that people have been eating on this planet forever? Seems to support life.
Because we think, you know, that we need a cheaper way of producing food. We need to be able to produce higher quality tomatoes, higher quality vegetables, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm trying to do in my work is to stay away from
making judgments
and saying we humans would better understand ourselves and how we got to where we are, even with this influence on our history, which has had positive and negative benefits.
Yeah, and
look at it. Let's try to be like an analyst. Let's try to be like an intelligence.
Hello, Jackie.
Trying to put together.
Excuse me, just a minute. Hello.
I'm getting terrible static over your line. Could you hang up and dial back in?
Yeah.
Because this is awful. I don't know if you can hear it or not.
Okay. No, I hear nothing. Do you hear any static, Paul?
No, I hear no static.
Yeah, there's some terrible static coming in.
All right. Well, okay.
Let's hang up and go ahead and try
I need to try another phone.
Yeah, if you can't hear it, I don't know what it is.
Well, Paul, you stay on the line, okay?
Okay.
I'll stay on the line. You can hear me all right.
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Okay. Thank you, Nicholas. Paul?
Changed at all. Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget, never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change again. Never forget.
Do I hear the pass?
I do.
All right, folks, we're back on network. If you're there, is this the best connection?
I'm still getting it. I hate to tell you this, but let's try the other line.
Okay. Okay, what line are we going to try?
Thank you. of mine. Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget, never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change again. Never forget.
Sweet liberty is in our hands. It's
part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget, never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change again. Never forget.
Okay, well, I'm glad you do. I'm going to be traveling next.
Okay, sorry, folks. Jackie will be back next week, so stay tuned. We're going to do a rebroadcast.
That couple, that when another breakdown in the institutions, we have totally lost faith in this society, in the institutions of the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
The ineptness of the federal government, the misleading propaganda of the federal government, and so on, has led to a breakdown in the institution of the relationship of citizens and their own government. And what this is doing is this is causing people then to ask questions. Well, what should it be? What should my relationship be? What should I do? What should be my contribution to the future of this country? Rather than just saying, well, we're going to leave it up to them. So that's what I mean about the breakdown. People know that they're not working. Now, the Catholic Church has been through this. I mean, this whole business of the abuse by the priesthood of many young men and women. That's an example of the breakdown of an institution so that people know now that that institution is not a divinely created perfect
right.
organism by God.
Don't you think
it
that's...
is a human organism with all the foibles and weaknesses.
But don't you think that's by design, Paul?
Well,
in other words, it seems to me that the religions, for example, Christianity, when people began to realize the lies that they've been told that they were born into, there's a tendency to just give up the baby with the bathwater. In other words, it's all lies, so to hell with it, you know, nothing matters, and the quote, there's no God, creator, etc., etc. Have you read the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion?
No, I've read part of that.
I want you to know that everything you were just saying was protracted there, was said that this is exactly what's going to happen. That was 100 years ago. Over 100 years ago.
Well, but see, when you say that this is happening by design, by whose design?
I don't know.
Well, see, that's...
Maybe the priesthood, maybe the force, or whatever it is within individuals. This is it. Really what it does, in my mind, is bring us into the book. Because, Paul... how could 100 years ago something be written that says we're going to cause such chaos that the people are going to lose faith in their governments? It's written there in the protocols. And I know it says it's the elders of Zion. I don't know what that means, and I'm not getting into some, you know, thing here.
But that was
written 100 years ago. And
yeah, but the
breaking
the
it
been...
down to cause the chaos so they can bring their form of order in. I know their plan doesn't necessarily have to succeed. If I thought it was going to, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. I'd be out tap dancing or something. But what I'm saying is, it seems from those types of writing that this plan has been laid out long ago and it's being manipulated somehow. It's like Russia. You know, when that thing happened in the Soviet Union, and it was on television. People think, you know, that was a spontaneous thing. It wasn't spontaneous.
What event are you talking about now?
Well, you know, when in the Soviet Union, when they had the big...
The nuclear explosion at Chernobyl?
No, not the Chernobyl thing, when the government was overtaken, and it was all televised. And
oh,
then,
you mean when the attack on the White House?
On the Duma, or whatever they call
sure,
it?
Sure,
well,
yeah.
people think that was a spontaneous uprising. It was on television. Sure. It must have been known it was going to happen. The whole thing was televised.
Well, I have to disagree with you there.
That's all right. That's okay.
I mean, I know Yeltsin. I've worked with him on some projects in the Soviet Union.
Paul?
Well,
we have to take a break here.
Just take a break.
It's going to be for about 3 minutes. And,
all right.
And I'm not going to, you know, pursue this. Because I didn't ask you to come on to debate these kinds of things, I'd like to get into the book.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at firstamendmentradio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on firstamendmentradio.com are listener-supported. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at firstamendmentradio.com.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Paths Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back on. Paul Von Ward is our guest tonight. And this is, I don't know about you, but this has just been wonderful for me. And, of course,
I'm always stimulated by such questions.
Oh, yes, and not only that, but our listeners knowing me know that, you know, one little thing will come up and my mind explodes with about 1,000 questions, Paul. So what we're going to do is our last part of our conversation. We'll do that another time, maybe, I hope. But what I really want to do is get into the book, because this is an area that we have not delved into. I've brought it up. And yet, I can't relate to our listeners the way that the evidence is laid out in God's genes and consciousness. And before we go any further, let me let our listeners know, is that book, it's only $12, Paul?
Yeah, it's even less than that on
11
the
something.
Publisher.
Yeah, 11 right. Something. This is a 400 page book.
Don't frighten people off.
Well, that's not. It isn't. Oh wait, you couldn't frighten some. Well, maybe. Okay, I don't want to frighten our listeners off. But this book, I've talked to our listeners about Douglas Reed's book, The Controversy of Zion.
Mm-hmm.
I read excerpts of that book to them. You cannot describe the book. You could not. They cannot learn from just a few excerpts, because the book is laid out in a way that it just makes all the sense in the world. And I told our listeners at that time, if I could, if I had the authority to require reading for you and I could only require one book, it would be Controversy of Zion. This is God's genes and consciousness is the same way. Actually, for me, it's it almost becomes a research book. I get a question in my mind, and I think, wait a minute, and I go back into the book, I find my highlights, I read again, and it's just, it puts pieces into the puzzle. One of the big ones for me, and it's, I'm still not really sure, actually, to tell you the truth, you know, even from reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different colors and races of people in, well, four or five, whatever, in the categories they're in. And I wonder, because I can easily accept the possibility, probability, that this planet has been visited. And there's been genetic manipulation going on. But then the next question that comes to my mind is, well, how many different beings were here to give us, you know, slant eyes and yellowish skin and long shins and black skin? And you understand what I'm saying? There's such a diversion here. Okay,
sure.
I'll stop. Do I have a question here that is answerable?
Well, I think what I want to do before dealing with any one of the specific differences or any one of the specific influences of what I call ABs, or more advanced beings, on human history.
Okay.
Because that's the subtitle of the book, Intervention by Advanced Beings in Human History.
Yes.
I go back, and I know some of your readers have probably heard of Zachariah Sitchin's work and some other people who have dealt with what I call the intervention hypothesis. This is the hypothesis that human development and human history has been influenced by beings more advanced than we are.
Now, and Paul, when you say advanced beings, though, before you continue, will you give them what you have defined as your idea of an advanced being?
Yes. Well, for me, I use the term advanced being as sort of a neutral term, because what I want to do is to have the reader look at all the different categories of beings more advanced than humans that they have heard about. We go to the Bible, you know, you have the Elohim, you have the Anakim, you have various watchers, you have angels, and so on. So those are AB.
And
those
they,
are
and
AB.
They could take physical form, or they could be energetic form.
They can be
spiritual,
other dimensional,
other dimensional, yes.
Flesh and blood in our 4D space time.
So you just combine them all in your depth. Okay. I just wanted our listeners to understand that when you.
Right.
Say the word.
And I also include in that the same kinds of reports that we're having today of so-called aliens or ETs, and other words are used for them, ascended masters, you know, the channel beings that various people, you mentioned, and in your opening, the Course in Miracles. Well, that material was transmitted through a human being from an AB, being more advanced than humans, passing on information back to us through the channel of a human being.
When I've mentioned this, the Course in Miracles, I've always used the word allegedly, and then I preface that and say, or qualify it and say, as far as I'm concerned, it's out of this world, because I don't know of any thought in this world that could have done that work.
Well, I'm not sure I could say that, but what I accept is that the account that we have of how that material came in,
yes.
I do say that I believe that it came from a non-physical entity channeling through
right.
a physical human being. And,
right.
you know, it happens all the time. I mean, Ramtha out in in Washington State. I have a friend, Kevin Ryerson, who was Shirley MacLaine's channel. You know, he channels Atun Re and other beings. I put all of these, that the Yahweh who appeared not in physical form but invisibly to Moses on Mount Sinai, according to that tradition, Gabriel, who passed on information to Mohammed, who started Islam, Moroni, who passed on information to Joseph Smith to start the Mormon church, on and on. I mean, you have evidences, and in the ancient traditions around the world, whether it's Africa or Latin America or Australia or Siberia, there are the traditions of beings more advanced than humans being involved in the creation and development of mankind, passing on to mankind advanced information and knowledge. You have the story of Noah in the Bible, which is also repeated by many, many different traditions around the world, of similar kinds of interactions between the ABs and humans. So the first three chapters of God's Genes and Consciousness sets forth what I think is a reasonable selection of the evidence that suggests that it is a fact in history that humans have had influence from AD. So, that's point number one. Now, then I say in the book, okay, what was the nature of that intervention that seems to be the most important for the kind of societies, the kinds of religions, the kinds of institutions that we have in the world today? And I think that there are probably several different interventions over the millennia on this planet, over the millions of years on this planet, in human development. But the one that I picked on as what I think is the most significant one for the things we're talking about is intervention by the group of ABs that are called the Anunnaki in the Sumerian tablets, that are called the Anakim in the Old Testament. And these were a group of beings from another planet who ended up on this planet colonizing parts of it, taking resources from it for their own needs. And about 350,000 years ago, they genetically manipulated Homo erectus, which was where humanity was at that particular time in its evolutionary development, to make them into workers for the mines in South Africa. And those interventions made the shift, made the jump from Homo erectus to what we call today Homo sapiens.
What is Homo sapiens sapiens?
Well, Homo sapiens sapiens is something that happened a little bit later.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The Homo sapiens, and that may very well include in it the Neanderthal and the Cro-Magnon peoples, because
so you're
those
saying,
are all...
you're saying Homo sapien was before Neanderthal?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, there are these dates are very elusive because we have a very partial fossil record, and the paleoanthropologists and the archaeologists who have discovered the various bones and tried to date them and put them in classifications and so on, it's not an exact science. So when you see in a popular magazine or newspaper article, you know, that gives these dates, you have to remember, take them with a grain of salt. But generally speaking, we think that Homo sapiens appear about anywhere from 350,000 to 500,000 years ago, depending on, you know, what part of the fossil record we've been able to uncover to this point. Neanderthal dated from about 300,000 years ago down to about 30,000 years ago. And then Cro-Magnon, of course, was even more recent than the Neanderthal, and they disappeared, at least from the fossil record that we know, about 15,000 years ago. But anyhow, that the first intervention was to, in effect, upgrade Homo erectus to the level of serving as workers in South Africa.
As you put it in your book, slaves.
Well, they were slaves because they had no control over their own destiny.
Right.
They were subservient to these colonizers, just like we Europeans have colonized lesser developed societies on this planet over the last 1,000 years and made slaves of them. That's where we were as a species back about 350,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the story seems to move from out of South Africa into the Middle East about 100,000 years ago. And this is described in the Sumerian text and to some extent in Genesis and the Bible and other texts that I mentioned specifically in the book. What this was is the Homo sapiens who were slaves and workers and really manual labor tasks in South Africa were then taken to the Middle East in what's known as the Garden of Eden in the biblical and some other traditions. And there they were, their roles were changed. They became much more well trained in architecture and administrative tasks and agriculture and so on to provide support services for the Anunnaki establishment in Mesopotamia and the Sinai region and that part of the Middle East. And that's when we have a manipulation that led to the Homo sapiens, who are now known today as the Caucasoid. And that happened both apparently by genetic manipulation and also by sexual interaction between the ABs and the humans. And this is talked about in the Bible as the sons of the God had intercourse with the daughters of men and created the giants and other beings. What I'm saying in terms of your question about the race is I don't think we have a lot of evidence on what exactly happened, but I think you had different AB genetic mixing with Homo sapiens in different parts of the world that resulted in very significant racial differences.
I'm sorry. Let me ask this, please. You see, I read several of Stinson's books. My question, I guess, is that if those from the planet, do you pronounce it Nibiru?
Nibiru. Uh-huh.
Nibiru, that's how I've always pronounced it. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, in my mind, were there other possible visitors from some other possible place that did, mating or genetic engineering to get all the different colors, and as I mentioned before, or was it all with genetics that they did it? And if it was genetics, did they have that kind of a mix on Nibiru?
Well, I think that there are many stories that suggest that ABs from different planets or different galaxies or even different dimensions have been involved in the development of humans.
Okay.
I think in terms of our races, it seems to me that probably is a result of one generic group of ABs. Because basically we humans are all 99.9% the same.
99.9.
Our genomes are 99.9% the same. One tenth of 1% gives us our individual differences. And so if there were significantly different AB interventions in the human species, I think you would find a greater difference of DNA.
Okay, thank
and
you.
And the reason, if your listeners then go into that part of the book that looks at the scientific evidence that I think corroborate. And I use the word corroborate, meaning that it supports the notion of the story that I'm telling you.
Yes.
It's not proof that anyone can say this is certainly the answer. But when you do what I did in the book, which is I looked at the fossil record, I looked at the phylogenetic research, people who, geneticists who've been working on the genome and doing all of these comparative studies, and looking at their projections backwards as to figure out when different races seem to come on board, when different blood types seem to come on board, and when different languages arose. And I have the whole section, you know, in the chapter on history of languages, which is a fascinating chapter because it demonstrates, I think, what all of the religious and native traditions tell us, that language was a gift from the gods. And it happens that an institute in Germany...
And when you say the gods, you're talking
those
about...
Those are the ABs.
The ABs, the supernatural...
no, not supernatural.
No,
I don't
what
believe
I'm
in
saying
supernatural.
Is that the gods that were... They became gods, supernatural gods, in people's minds later.
That's perfect. Thank you for saying it that way, because the ABs, who are just all very natural beings, they're just as natural as you and I are. They happen to be, in some instances, more advanced physical species. In other instances, they happen to be species that inhabit other dimensions. You know, our current physicists and their theories of string theory and all of that hypothesize multiple dimensions in the universe, and what I'm suggesting is that some of those other dimensions are inhabited by conscious beings as well as this dimension that we're in.
Right.
And it's all a natural thing, but your point about they were turned into supernatural beings or they were labeled supernatural beings, that didn't happen, you see, until just a couple of thousand years ago or less, when we had the leaders of religions transfer the idea of these advanced beings as natural beings that humans interacted with, walked with, slept with, talked with, fought with, etc., into some divine realm which was unreachable and untouchable by humans unless you happened to be the high priest.
Right.
And then you could contact them.
Yes, thank you.
So that's the whole story that I have in the two chapters in the book on the development of supernaturalism and how the cults that were devoted to these various ABs turned into supernatural religions. So anyhow, what I tried to do in the evidence of, you know, looking at the fossil records, the genetic records, language, the alphabet, you know, the alphabet, according to the various cultures, were given to us by the ABs. Saraswati was the AB's name in India that passed on Sanskrit. Toth was the one in Egypt that passed on writing to the Egyptians, and so on. There are different people. Quetzalcoatl was the one who gave it to the Central Americans in their tradition.
And I'm looking at the clock right now, and we have probably about 5 or 6 minutes left before we go any further. I started to let our listeners know how they could find you and find the books, and I got myself down a cul-de-sac. Folks, you can go to VonWard.com, and that's Paul's website, and then there's a section on the books, and it takes you over to the publisher. Is it Hampton House?
Hampton Roads.
Hampton Roads, sorry, yes. And also, Paul's books are available there. Paul, I was shocked when I saw the price on this book because, you know, the books like this usually are sold for about $30 and people buy them. And I'm just so delighted to tell our listeners that it's 11-something, folks.
I wanted that to happen because, you know,
you wanted people to have it.
I want people to have it and read it because I really want people to look at this whole picture.
Yes, I do too, Paul. So, folks, Von Ward, VonWard.com. And then
that's
you,
V like in Victor.
Oh, V like in Victor, yes, or Victor.
Sometimes people hear V as a V like in boy.
Yes, they do, Von Ward. And folks, I hope you get this book. I just hope you get it. You know, as I told you, Paul, I read some of Sitchin's books.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out that he matriculated at the London School of Economics. And because of my, as you already probably see, my total, absolute distrust of anything in the elite arena, I said, oh, geez, there's got to be hooks in here. And then, you know, my reasoning comes in, and I think, yeah, but this can't all be false because it makes too much sense. See, it answered dozens of questions that I had. I was 15 years old when I decided to delve into the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the questions that I had when I read Zachariah Sitchin's books, I said, yes, of course, this all makes sense.
Well, none of us have all the answers,
no.
And none of us have the whole picture, but I think that a lot of people now are working on this intervention hypothesis in a very rational, straightforward way.
Yes.
I think that Sitchin and I, and my friend Lloyd Pye, who is one of the intervention hypothesis writers in this country, I think there are enough of us working on it now who are not part of any particular religious orientation, any particular
amazing.
Mystical orientation, and we're just looking at the best interpretation of the facts that we
yes.
can and putting them together.
One of the things I appreciate about God's genes and consciousness is I don't recall reading anywhere that you said something that this is exactly the way it is. You said, well, if this is true, then the evidence points to, and you allow
right.
people to deduce for themselves, but you're not becoming a guru to anything. Anybody, you're just putting together your research, your reasoning, your logic, and you're laying it out in a beautiful fashion. And I do understand, I know that there is not one book we could ever read that would have all the truth in it, and there could be some mistake. But
sure.
but the truth, I think you said this at the beginning, it's there, it's within us. And when I've still got a lot of places. I have a place in my mind, Paul, my top left shelf, I call it.
Mm-hmm.
When I see something, read something, hear something, I don't...
Have you seen Loose Change? The best darn documentary produced in the 911 Truth Movement. Why waste your money keeping up the joke?